the 27th of September. Lay long sleeping, it raining and blowing very hard, then up and to the office, my mouth still being scabby and a patch on it. At the office all the morning, at noon dined at home, and so after dinner, Llewellyn dining with me and in my way talking about Deering, to the fishing committee, and had there very many fine things argued. And I hope some good will come of it. So home, where my wife having, after all her merry discourse of being with child, her months upon her, is gone to bed. I to my office very late doing business, then home to supper and to bed. Tonight Mr. Thomas Trice and Pigott came to see me, and desire my going down to Brampton Court, where for Pigott's sake, for whom it is necessary I should go, I would be glad to go, and will, contrary to my purpose, endeavour it. But having now almost £1,000, if not above, in my house, I know not what to do with it, and that will trouble my mind to leave in the house, and I not at home. The 28th of September. Up and by water with Mr. Tooker down to Woolwich first to do several businesses of the King's, then on board Captain Fisher's ship, which we hire to carry goods to Tangier. All the way, going and coming, I reading and discoursing over some papers of his, which he, poor man, having some experience but greater conceit of it than is fit, did at the King's first coming over make proposals of, ordering in a new manner the whole revenue of the kingdom. But God knows a most weak thing, however, one paper of his I keep, wherein he doth state the main branches of the public revenue, fit to consider and remember. So home, very cold and fearful of having got some pain. But thanks be to God I was well after it. So to dinner, and after dinner by coach to Whitehall, thinking to have met at a committee of Tangier, but nobody being there but my Lord Rutherford, he would needs carry me and another Scotch lord to a play. And so we saw, coming late, part of the General, my Lord Orrery's, Broghill, second play. But, Lord, to see how no more, either in word, sense, or design, it is to his Harry the Fifth, is not imaginable, and so poorly acted, though in finer clothes, is strange. And here I must confess breach of a vow in appearance. But I not desiring it but against my will, and my oath being to go neither at my own charge nor another's, as I had done by becoming liable to give them another, as I am to Sir William Penn and Mr. Creed. But here I neither know which of them paid for me, nor, if I did, am I obliged ever to return the like, or did it by desire or with any willingness, so that with a safe conscience I do think my oath is not broke, and judge God Almighty will not think it otherwise. Thence to William Joyce's, and there find my aunt and cousin Mary come home from my father's with great pleasure and content. And thence to Kate's, and found her also mighty pleased with her journey and their good usage of them. And so home troubled in my conscience at my being at a play. But at home I find Mercer playing on her viol, which is a pretty instrument, and so I to the viol and singing till late, and so to bed. My mind at a great loss how to go down to Brampton this week to satisfy Pigott. But what with the fears of my house, my money, my wife, and my office, I know not how in the world to think of it. Tom Hayter being out of town, and I having near £1,000 in my house. The 29th of September. Michaelmas Day. Up and to the office, where all the morning, dined at home and Creed with me. After dinner, I to Sir George Carteret, and with him to his new house he is taking in Broad Street. And there surveyed all the rooms and bounds in order to the drawing up a lease thereof. And that done, Mr. Cutler, his landlord, took me up and down and showed me all his ground and houses, which is extraordinary great, he having bought all the Augustine friars, and many, many £1,000 he hath, and will bury there. So home to my business, clearing my papers, and preparing my accounts against tomorrow for a monthly and a great audit. So to supper and to bed. Fresh news came of our beating the Dutch at Guinea quite out of all their castles almost, which will make them quite mad here at home, sure. And Sir George Carteret did tell me that the King doth joy mightily at it, but asked him, laughing, "But," says he, "how shall I do to answer this to the ambassador when he comes?" "Nay, they say that we have beat them out of the New Netherlands, too, so that we have been doing them mischief a great while in several parts of the world, without public knowledge or reason. Their fleet for Guinea is now, they say, ready and abroad, and will be going this week. Coming home tonight, I did go to examine my wife's house accounts, and finding things that seemed somewhat doubtful, I was angry, though she did make it pretty plain, but confessed that when she doth miss a sum, she doth add something to other things to make it. And upon my being very angry, she doth protest she will here lay up something for herself to buy her necklace with, which maddened me, and doth still trouble me, for I fear she will forget by degrees the way of living cheap and under a sense of want." The 30th of September. Up and all day, both morning and afternoon, at my accounts, it being a great month both for profit and layings out, the last being £89, for kitchen and clothes for myself and wife, and a few extraordinaries for the house, and my profits, besides salary, £239, so that I have this week, notwithstanding great layings out, and preparations for laying out, which I make as paid this month, my balance doth come to £1,203, for which the Lord's name be praised. Dined at home at noon, staying long looking for Kate Joyce and my Aunt James and Mary, but they came not. So my wife abroad to see them, and took Mary Joyce to a play. Then, in the evening, came and sat working by me at the office. And late home to supper and to bed, with my heart in good rest for this day's work, though troubled to think that by last month's negligence, besides the making me neglect business and spend money and lessen myself, both as to business and the world and myself, I am fain to preserve my vow by paying 20 shillings dry money into the poor's box, because I had not fulfilled all my memorandums, and paid all my petty debts, and received all my petty credits of the last month. But I trust in God I shall do so no more. October 1664. The 1st. Up and at the office both forenoon and afternoon, very busy, and with great pleasure in being so. This morning Mistress Lane, now Martin, like a foolish woman, came to the Horseshoe hard by, and sent for me while I was at the office to come to speak with her, by a note sealed up. I know to get me to do something for her husband, but I sent her an answer that I would see her at Westminster, and so I did not go, and she went away, poor soul. At night, home to supper, weary and my eyes sore with writing and reading, and to bed. We go now on with great vigour in preparing against the Dutch, who they say will now fall upon us without doubt, upon this high news come of our beating them so wholly in Guinea. The 2nd of October, Lord's Day. My wife not being well to go to church, I walked with my boy through the city, putting in at several churches, among others at Bishopsgate, and there saw the picture usually put before the King's book, put up in the church, but very ill painted, though it were a pretty piece to set up in a church. I intended to have seen the Quakers, who they say do meet every Lord's Day at the mouth at Bishopsgate, but I could see none stirring, nor was it fit to ask for the place. So I walked over Moorfields, and thence to Clerkenwell Church, and there, as I wished, sat next pew to the fair butler, who indeed is a most perfect beauty still, and one I do very much admire myself for my choice of her for a beauty, she having the best lower part of her face that ever I saw all days of my life. After church I walked to my Lady Sandwich's through my Lord Southampton's new buildings in the fields behind Gray's Inn, and indeed they are a very great and noble work. So I dined with my lady in the same innocent discourse that we used to have. Only after dinner, being alone, she asked me my opinion about Creed, whether he would have a wife or no, and what he was worth, and proposed Mistress Wright for him, which she says she heard he was once inquiring after. She desired I would take a good time and manner of proposing it, and I said I would, though I believed he would love nothing but money, and much was not to be expected there, she said. So away back to Clerkenwell Church, thinking to have got sight of La Belle Butler again, but failed, and so after church walked all over the fields home. And there my wife was angry with me for not coming home and for gadding abroad to look after beauties, she told me plainly. So I made all peace and to supper. This evening came Mistress Lane, now Martin, with her husband to desire my help about a place for him. It seems poor Mr. Daniel is dead, of the victualling office. A place too good for this puppy to follow him in. But I did give him the best words I could, and so, after drinking a glass of wine, sent them going, but with great kindness. So to supper, prayers, and to bed. The 3rd of October. Up. With Sir John Minnis by coach to St. James's, and there all the news now of very hot preparations for the Dutch. And being with the Duke, he told us he was resolved to make a trip himself, and that Sir William Penn should go in the same ship with him. Which honour, God forgive me, I could grudge him for his knavery and dissimulation, though I do not envy much the having the same place myself. Talk also of great haste in the getting out another fleet and building some ships, and now it is likely we have put one another by each other's dalliance past a retreat. Thence, with our heads full of business, we broke up, and I to my barber's, and there only saw Jane, and stroked her under the chin, and away to the exchange, and there long about several businesses, hoping to get money by them, and thence home to dinner, and there found Hawley, but meeting Bagwell's wife at the office before I went home, I took her into the office, and there kissed her only. She rebuked me for doing it, saying that did I do so much to many bodies else, it would be a stain to me, but I do not see but she takes it well enough. Though in the main, I believe she is very honest. So, after some kind discourse, we parted, and I home to dinner, and after dinner down to Deptford, where I found Mr. Coventry. And there we made an experiment of Hollands and our cordage. And ours outdid it a great deal, as my book of observations tells particularly. Here we were late, and so home together by water, and I to my office, where late putting things in order. Mr. Bland came this night to me to take his leave of me, he going to Tangier, wherein I wish him good success. So, home to supper and to bed. My mind troubled at the businesses I have to do, that I cannot mind them as I ought to do and get money. And more that I've neglected, by frequenting and seeming more busy publicly than I ought to have done of late in this hurry of business. But there is time left to recover it, and I trust in God I shall. The 4th of October. Up and to the office where we sat all the morning, and this morning Sir William Penn went to Chatham to look after the ships now going out thence, and particularly that wherein the Duke and himself goes. He took Sir George Askew with him, whom I believe he hath brought into play. At noon to the change and thence home, where I find my Aunt James and the two She-Joyces. They dined and were merry with us. Thence, after dinner, to a play to see The General, which is so dull and so ill-acted that I think it is the worst I ever saw or heard in all my days. I happen to sit next to Sir Charles Sedley, who I find a very witty man, and did at every line take notice of the dullness of the poet and badness of the action, and that most pertinently, which I was mightily taken with, and among others, whereby Altamira's command, Clarimont the General is commanded to rescue his rival, whom she loved, Lucidor, he, after a great deal of demur, breaks out, "Well, I'll save my rival and make her confess that I deserve, while he doth but possess." "Why, what pox?" says Sir Charles Sedley. "Would he have him have more, or what is there more to be had of a woman than the possessing her?" Then, setting all them at home, I home with my wife and Mercer, vexed at my losing my time and above 20 shillings in money, and neglecting my business to see so bad a play. Tomorrow, they told us, should be acted, or the day after, a new play called The Parson's Dream, acted all by women. So to my office, and there did business, and so home to supper and to bed. The 5th of October. Up betimes into my office, and thence by coach to New Bridewell to meet with Mr. Poyntz, to discourse with him, being master of the workhouse there, about making of bupas for us, but he was not within. However, his clerk did lead me up and down through all the houses, and there I did with great pleasure see the many pretty works and the little children employed, every one to do something, which was a very fine sight and worthy encouragement. I cast away a crown among them, and so to the change, and among the linen wholesale drapers, to inquire about calicoes, to see what can be done with them for the supplying our want of bupas for flags. And I think I shall do something therein to good purpose for the king. So to the coffee-house, and there fell in discourse with the secretary of the virtuosi of Gresham College, and had very fine discourse with him. He tells me of a new invented instrument to be tried before the college anon, and I intend to see it. So to Trinity House, and there I dined among the old dull fellows, and so home, and to my office a while, and then comes Mr. Cocker to see me, and I discoursed with him about his writing and ability of sight, and how I shall do to get some glass or other to help my eyes by candlelight, and he tells me he will bring me the helps he hath within a day or two, and show me what he doth. Thence to the music meeting at the post office, where I was once before, and thither anon come all the Gresham College, and a great deal of noble company, and the new instrument was brought, called the arched viol, where, being tuned with lute strings, and played on with keys like an organ, a piece of parchment is always kept moving, and the strings, which by the keys are pressed down upon it, are grated, in imitation of a bow, by the parchment. And so it is intended to resemble several viols played on with one bow, but so basely and harshly that it will never do. But after 3 hours' stay, it could not be fixed in tune, and so they were fain to go to some other music of instruments, which I am grown quite out of love with, and so I, after some good discourse with Mr. Spong, Hill, Grant, Dr. Whistler and others by turns, I home to my office and there late, and so home where I understand my wife hath spoke to Jane, and ended matters of difference between her and her, and she stays with us, which I am glad of, for her fault is nothing but sleepiness and forgetfulness, otherwise a good-natured, quiet, well-meaning, honest servant, and one that will do as she is bid, so one called upon her, and will see her do it. This morning, by 3 o'clock, the prince and king and duke with him went down the river, and the prince under sail the next tide after, and so is gone from the Hope. God give him better success than he used to have. This day Mr. Bland went away hence towards his voyage to Tangier. This day also I had a letter from an unknown hand that tells me that Jack Anger, he believes, is dead at Lisbon, for he left him there ill. The 6th of October. Up and to the office, where busy all the morning, among other things, about this of the flags, and my bringing in of calicoes to oppose Young and Whistler. At noon, by promise, Mr. Pierce and his wife and Madam Clark and her niece came and dined with me to a rare chine of beef, and spent the afternoon very pleasantly all the afternoon. And then to my office in the evening, they being gone and late at business, and then home to supper and to bed, my mind coming to itself in following of my business. The 7th of October. Lay pretty while, with some discontent, abed, even to the having bad words with my wife, and blows, too, about the ill serving up of our victuals yesterday. But all ended in love. And so I rose into my office, busy all the morning. At noon, dined at home, and then to my office again, and then abroad to look after calicoes for flags, and hope to get a small matter by my pains therein, and yet save the king a great deal of money. And so home to my office, and there came Mr. Cocker, and brought me a globe of glass and a frame of oiled paper, as I desired, to show me the manner of his gaining light to grave by, and to lessen the glaringness of it at pleasure, by an oiled paper. This I bought of him, giving him a crown for it, and so, well satisfied, he went away and I to my business again, and so home to supper, prayers, and to bed. The 8th of October. All the morning at the office, and after dinner abroad, and among other things contracted with one Mr. Bridges at the White Bear on Cornhill for 100 pieces of calico to make flags, and as I know I shall save the king money, so I hope to get a little for my pains and venture of my money myself. Late in the evening doing business, and then comes Captain Taylor, and he and I till 12 o'clock at night, arguing about the freight of his ship Eagle, hired formerly by me to Tangier, and at last we made an end, and I hope to get a little money, some small matter, by it. So home to bed, being weary and cold, but contented that I have made an end of that business. The 9th of October, Lord's Day. Lay pretty long, but however up time enough with my wife to go to church. Then home to dinner, and Mr. Fuller, my Cambridge acquaintance, coming to me about what he was with me lately, to release a waterman. He told me he was to preach at Barking Church, and so I to hear him, and he preached well and neatly. Thence, it being time enough, to our own church, and there stood privately at the great door to gaze upon a pretty lady, and from church dogged her home, whither she went to a house near Tower Hill, and I think her to be one of the prettiest women I ever saw. So home and at my office a while, busy, then to my Uncle White's, whither it seems my wife went after sermon, and there supped. But my aunt and uncle in a very ill humour one with another, but I made shift with much ado to keep them from scolding, and so after supper home, and to bed without prayers, it being cold, and tomorrow washing day. The 10th of October. Up, and it being rainy, in Sir William Penn's coach to St. James's, and there did our usual business with the Duke. And more preparations every day appear against the Dutch, and, which I must confess doth a little move my envy, Sir William Penn doth grow every day more and more regarded by the Duke, because of his service heretofore in the Dutch war, which I am confident is by some strong obligations he hath laid upon Mr. Coventry. For Mr. Coventry must needs know that he is a man of very mean parts, but only a bred seaman. Going home in coach with Sir William Batten, he told me how Sir John Minnis, by the means of Sir Richard Ford, was the last night brought to his house, and did discover the reason of his so long discontent with him. And now they are friends again, which I am sorry for. But he told it me so plainly that I see there is no thorough understanding between them, nor love, and so I hope there will be no great combination in anything, nor do I see Sir John Minnis very fond as he used to be. But Sir William Batten doth rail still against Mr. Turner and his wife, telling me he is a false fellow, and his wife a false woman, and hath rotten teeth, and false, set in with wire. And as I know they are so I am glad he finds it so. To the coffee-house, and thence to the change, and there with Sir William Warren to the coffee-house behind the change, and sat alone with him till 4 o'clock, talking of his businesses first, and then of business in general, and discourse how I might get money, and how to carry myself to advantage, to contract no envy, and yet make the world see my pains, which was with great content to me, and a great friend and help I am like to find him, for which God be thanked. So home to dinner at 4 o'clock, and then to the office, and there late, and so home to supper and to bed, having sat up till past 12 at night to look over the account of the collections for the fishery, and to see the loose and base manner that money so collected and disposed of in would make a man never part with a penny in that manner. And above all, the inconvenience of having a great man, though never so seeming pious, as my Lord Pembroke is. He is too great to be called to an account, and is abused by his servants, and yet obliged to defend them for his own sake. This day, by the blessing of God, my wife and I have been married 9 years, but my head being full of business, I did not think of it to keep it in any extraordinary manner. But bless God for our long lives and loves and health together, which the same God long continue, I wish from my very heart. the 11th of October. Up and to the office where we sat all the morning, my wife this morning went, being invited, to my Lady Sandwich, and I alone at home at dinner, till by and by Llewellyn comes and dines with me. He tells me what a bawdy loose play this parson's wedding is, that is acted by nothing but women at the king's house, and I am glad of it. Thence to the fishery in Thames Street, and there several good discourses about the letting of the lotteries, and among others, one Sir Thomas Clifford, whom yet I know not, doth speak very well and neatly. Thence to my cousin Will Joyce's, to get him to go to Brampton with me this week, but I think he will not, and I am not a whit sorry for it, for his company would be both chargeable and troublesome. So home, and to my office, and then to supper, and then to my office again till late, and so home with my head and heart full of business, and so to bed. My wife tells me the sad news of my Lady Castlemaine's being now become so decayed that one would not know her, at least far from a beauty, which I am sorry for. This day, with great joy, Captain Titus told us all the particulars of the French's expedition against Gigelli, upon the Barbary coast in the Straits, with 6,000 chosen men. They have taken the fort of Gigelli, wherein was 5 men and 3 guns, which makes the whole story of the King of France's policy and power to be laughed at. The 12th of October. This morning, all the morning at my office, ordering things against my journey tomorrow. At noon to the coffee-house, where very good discourse. For news, Alcée de Ruyter is gone to Guinea before us. Sir John Lawson is come to Portsmouth, and our fleet is hastening all speed, I mean this new fleet. Prince Rupert with his is got into the Downs. At home dined with me William Joyce and a friend of his. William Joyce will go with me to Brampton. After dinner, I out to Mr. Bridges, the linen draper, and evened with him for 100 pieces of calico, and did give him £208.18 and no pence, which I now trust the king for, but hope both to save the king money, and to get a little by it to boot. Thence by water up and down all the timber yards to look out some dram timber, but can find none for our turn at the price I would have, and so I home. And there at my office late, doing business against my journey, to clear my hands of everything for 2 days. So home, and to supper and bed. The 13th of October. After being at the office all the morning, I home and dined, and taking leave of my wife, with my mind not a little troubled how she would look after herself or house in my absence, especially, too, leaving a considerable sum of money in the office, I by coach to the Red Lion in Aldersgate Street, and there by agreement met William Joyce and Tom Trice, and mounted, I upon a very fine mare that Sir William Warren helps me to, and so very merrily rode till it was very dark, I leading the way through the dark to Wellin, and there, not being very weary, to supper and to bed, but very bad accommodation at the Swan. In this day's journey I met with Mr. White, Cromwell's chaplain that was, and had a great deal of discourse with him. Among others, he tells me that Richard is, and hath long been, in France, and is now going into Italy. He owns publicly that he doth correspond and return him all his money, that Richard hath been in some straits at the beginning, but relieved by his friends, that he goes by another name, but doth not disguise himself nor deny himself to any man that challenges him. He tells me, for certain, that offers have been made to the old man of marriage between the king and his daughter, to have obliged him, but he would not. He thinks, with me, that it never was in his power to bring in the king with the consent of any of his officers about him, and that he scorned to bring him in as Monk did, to secure himself and deliver everybody else. When I told him of what I found writ in a French book of one Monsieur Sorbière, that gives an account of his observations here in England. Among other things, he says that it is reported that Cromwell did in his lifetime transpose many of the bodies of the kings of England from one grave to another, and that by that means it is not known certainly whether the head that is now set upon a post be that of Cromwell or of one of the kings. Mr. White tells me that he believes he never had so poor a low thought in him to trouble himself about. He says the hand of God is much to be seen, that all his children are in good condition enough as to estate, and that their relations that betrayed their family are all now either hanged or very miserable. The 14th of October. Up by break of day and got to Brampton by 3 o'clock, where my father and mother overjoyed to see me, my mother ready to weep every time she looked upon me. After dinner my father and I to the court, and there did all our business to my mind, as I have set down in a paper particularly expressing our proceedings at this court. So home, where William Joyce, full of talk and pleased with his journey, and after supper I to bed and left my father, mother and him, laughing. The 15th of October. My father and I up and walked alone to Hinchingbrook, and among the other late chargeable works that my lord hath done there, we saw his waterworks, and the Aura, which is very fine, and so is the house all over. But I am sorry to think of the money at this time spent therein. Back to my father's, Mr. Shepley being out of town, and there breakfasted, after making an end with Barton about his businesses. And then my mother called me into the garden, and there, but all to no purpose, desiring me to be friends with John. But I told her I cannot, nor indeed easily shall, which afflicted the poor woman, but I cannot help it. Then, taking leave, William Joyce and I set out, calling Thomas Trice at Buckton, and thence got by night to Stevenage, and there mighty merry, though I in bed more wearied than the other 2 days, which I think proceeded from our galloping so much, my other weariness being almost all over. But I find that a coney's skin in my breeches preserves me perfectly from galling, and that eating after I come to my inn, without drinking, doth keep me from being stomach-sick, which drink doth presently make me. We lay all in several beds in the same room, and William Joyce, full of his impertinent tricks and talk, which then made us merry, as any other fool would have done. So to sleep. The 16th of October, Lord's Day. It raining, we set out, and about 9 o'clock got to Hatfield in church time, and I, light, and saw my simple Lord Salisbury sit there in his gallery, stayed not in the church, but thence mounted again, and to Barnet by the end of sermon, and there dined at the Red Lion. Very weary again, but all my weariness yesterday night and today in my thighs only, the rest of my weariness in my shoulders and arms being quite gone. Thence home, parting company at my cousin Anthony Joyce's by 4 o'clock. Weary, but very well, to bed at home, where I find all well. Anon my wife came to bed, but for my ease rose again and lay with her woman. The 17th of October. Rose very well and not weary, and with Sir William Batten to St. James's. There did our business. I saw Sir John Lawson since his return from sea first this morning, and hear that my Lord Sandwich is come from Portsmouth to town. Thence I to him, and finding him at my Lord Crewe's, I went with him home to his house, and much kind discourse. Thence my Lord to court, and I with Creed to the change, and thence with Sir William Warren to a cook's shop, and dined, discoursing and advising him about his great contract he is to make tomorrow, and do every day receive great satisfaction in his company, and a prospect of just advantage by his friendship. Thence to my office doing some business, but it being very cold, I, for fear of getting cold, went early home to bed. My wife not being come home from my Lady Jemima, with whom she hath been at a play and at court today. The 18th of October. Up and to the office, where, among other things, we made a very great contract with Sir William Warren for 3,000 load of timber. At noon, dined at home. In the afternoon, to the fishery, where very confused and very ridiculous my Lord Craven's proceedings, especially his finding fault with Sir John Colleton and Colonel Griffin's report in the accounts of the lotteriesmen. Thence I with Mr. Grey and his coach to Whitehall, but the King and Duke being abroad, we returned to Somerset House. In discourse I find him a very worthy and studious gentleman in the business of trade, and among other things he observed well to me how it is not the greatest wits, but the steady man that is a good merchant. He instanced in Ford and Cock, the last of whom he values above all men as his oracle, as Mr. Coventry doth Mr. Jolliffe. He says that it is concluded among merchants that where a trade hath once been and doth decay, it never recovers again, and therefore that the manufacture of cloth of England will never come to esteem again. That among other faults, Sir Richard Ford cannot keep a secret, and that it is so much the part of a merchant to be guilty of that fault, that the Duke of York is resolved to commit no more secrets to the merchants of the Royal Company. That Sir Ellis Layton is, for a speech of 40 words, the wittiest man that ever he knew in his life, but longer he is nothing, his judgment being nothing at all but his wit most absolute. At Somerset House he carried me in, and there I saw the Queen's new rooms, which are most stately and nobly furnished, and there I saw her, and the Duke of York and Duchess were there. The Duke spied me and came to me and talked with me a very great while about our contract this day with Sir William Warren, and among other things did with some contempt ask whether we did accept pollards, which Sir William Batten did yesterday, in spite, as the Duke, I believe, by my Lord Berkeley, doth well enough know, did, among other things, in writing propose. Thence home by coach, it raining hard, and to my office, where, late, then home to supper and to bed. This night the Dutch ambassador desired, and had, an audience of the King. What the issue of it was, I know not. Both sides, I believe, desire peace, but neither will begin, and so I believe a war will follow. The Prince is with his fleet at Portsmouth, and the Dutch are making all preparations for war. The 19th of October. Up and to my office all the morning. At noon dined at home, then abroad by coach to buy for the office, Hearn upon the Statute of Charitable Uses, in order to the doing something better in the chest than we have done, for I am ashamed to see Sir William Batten possess himself so long of so much money as he hath done. Coming home, weighed my 2 silver flagons at Stevens's. They weigh 212 ounces, 27 pennyweight, which is about £50, at 5 shillings per ounce. And then they judge the fashion to be worth above 5 shillings per ounce more. Nay, some say 10 shillings an ounce the fashion, but I do not believe. But yet am sorry to see that the fashion is worth so much, and the silver come to no more. So home and to my office, where very busy late. My wife at Mercer's mother's, and I believe William Hewer with them, which I do not like, that he should ask me leave to go about business, and then to go and spend his time in sport, and leave me here busy. To supper and to bed. My wife coming in by and by, which though I know there was no hurt in it, I do not like. The 20th of October. Up and to the office, where all the morning. At noon my Uncle Thomas came, dined with me and received some money of me. Then I to my office, where I took in with me Bagwell's wife. And there I caressed her, and find her every day more and more coming, with good words and promise of getting her husband a place, which I will do. So we parted, and I to my Lord Sandwich at his lodgings, and after a little stay, away with Mr. Chumley to Fleet Street. In the way he telling me that Tangier is like to be in a bad condition with this same Fitzgerald, he being a man of no honour nor presence, nor little honesty, and endeavours to raise the Irish and suppress the English interest there, and offends everybody, and doth nothing that I hear of well, which I am sorry for. Thence home, by the way, taking 2 silver tumblers home, which I have bought, and so home and there late, busy at my office, and then home to supper and to bed. The 21st of October. Up and by coach to Mr. Cole's, and there conferred with him about some law business, and so to Sir William Turner's, and there bought me cloth, coloured for a suit and cloak, to line with plush the cloak, which will cost me money, but I find that I must go handsomely whatever it costs me, and the charge will be made up in the fruits it brings. thence to the coffee-house and change, and so home to dinner, and then to the office all the afternoon, whither comes Will Howe to see me, being come from and going presently back to sea with my lord. Among other things, he tells me Mr. Creed is much out of favour with my lord, from his freedom of talk and bold carriage, and other things, with which my lord is not pleased. But most, I doubt, his not lending my lord money, and Mr. Moore's reporting what his answer was, I doubt, in the worst manner. But, however, a very unworthy rogue he is, and therefore let him go for one good for nothing, though wise to the height above most men I converse with. In the evening, Will Howe being gone, comes Mr. Martin to trouble me again to get him a lieutenant's place, for which he is as fit as a fool can be, but I put him off like an ass as he is. And so, setting my papers and books in order, I home to supper and to bed. The 22nd of October. Up and to the office, where we sat all the morning, at noon comes my Uncle Thomas and his daughter Mary, about getting me to pay them the £30 due now, but payable in law to her husband. I did give them the best answer I could, and so parted, they not desiring to stay to dinner. After dinner I down to Deptford, and there did business, and so back to my office, where very late busy, and so home to supper and bed. The 23rd of October. Lord's Day. Up and to church. At noon comes unexpected Mr. Fuller, the minister, and dines with me, and also I had invited Mr. Cooper, with one I judge came from sea. And he and I spent the whole afternoon together, he teaching me some things in understanding of plates. At night to the office doing business, and then home to supper, then a psalm, to prayers, and to bed. The 24th of October. Up and in Sir John Minnis's coach, alone with Mistress Turner as far as Paternoster Row, where I set her down, to St. James's, and there did our business, and I had the good luck to speak what pleased the Duke about our great contract in hand with Sir William Warren against Sir William Batten, wherein the Duke is very earnest for our contracting. Thence home to the office till noon, and then dined and to the change, and off with Sir William Warren for a while, consulting about managing his contract. Thence to a committee at Whitehall of Tangier, where I had the good luck to speak something to very good purpose about the mole at Tangier, which was well received, even by Sir John Lawson and Mr. Chumley, the undertakers against whose interest I spoke, that I believe I shall be valued for it. Thence into the galleries to talk with my Lord Sandwich, among other things about the Prince's writing up to tell us of the danger he and his fleet lies in at Portsmouth of receiving affronts from the Dutch, which my Lord said he would never have done had he lain there with one ship alone. Nor is there any great reason for it, because of the sands. However, the fleet will be ordered to go and lay themselves up at the Cows, much beneath the prowess of the Prince, I think, and the honour of the nation, at the first to be found to secure themselves. My Lord is well pleased to think that if the Duke and the Prince goes, all the blame of any miscarriage will not light on him, and that if anything goes well, he hopes he shall have the share of the glory, for the Prince is by no means well esteemed of by anybody. Thence home, and though not very well, yet up late about the fishery business, wherein I hope to give an account how I find the collections to have been managed, which I did finish to my great content, and so home to supper and to bed. This day the great O'Neill died, I believe, to the content of all the Protestant pretenders in Ireland. The 25th of October. Up and to the office, where we sat all the morning, and finished Sir William Warren's great contract for timber, with great content to me, because just in the terms I wrote last night to Sir William Warren, and against the terms proposed by Sir William Batten. At noon, home to dinner, and there find Creed and Hawley. After dinner comes in Mistress Ingram, the first time to make a visit to my wife. After a little stay, I left them, and to the committee of the fishery, and there did make my report of the late public collections for the fishery, much to the satisfaction of the committee, and I think much to my reputation, for good notice was taken of it, and much it was commended. So home, in my way taking care of a piece of plate for Mr. Christopher Pett, against the launching of his new great ship tomorrow at Woolwich, which I singly did move to His Royal Highness yesterday, and did obtain it for him, to the value of 20 pieces. And he, under his hand, doth acknowledge to me that he did never receive so great a kindness from any man in the world as from me herein. So to my office, and then to supper, and then to my office again, where busy late, being very full nowadays of business, to my great content, I thank God, and so home to bed. My house being full of a design to go tomorrow, my wife and all her servants, to see the new ship launched. The 26th of October. Up, my people rising mighty betimes to fit themselves to go by water, and my boy, he could not sleep, but wakes about 4 o'clock, and in bed lay playing on his lute till daylight, and it seems did the like last night till 12 o'clock. About 8 o'clock my wife, she and her woman, and Bess, and Jane, and Will Hewers, and the boy, to the waterside, and there took boat. And by, I out of doors to look after the flagon, to get it ready to carry to Woolwich. That being not ready, I stepped aside and found out Nelson, he that Whistler buys his bupers of, and did there buy 5 pieces at their price, and am in hopes thereby to bring them down, or buy ourselves all we spend of Nelson at the first hand. This job was greatly to my content, and by the flagon being finished at the burnishers, I home, and there fitted myself and took a hackney coach I hired, it being a very cold and foul day, to Woolwich, all the way reading in a good book touching the fishery, and that being done, in the book upon the statutes of charitable uses, mightily to my satisfaction. At Woolwich I there up to the King and Duke, and they liked the plate well. Here I stayed above with them while the ship was launched, which was done with great success, and the King did very much like the ship, saying she had the best bow that ever he saw. But, Lord, the sorry talk and discourse among the great courtiers round about him, without any reverence in the world, but with so much disorder. By and by the Queen comes, and her maids of honour, one whereof, Mistress Boynton, and the Duchess of Buckingham, had been very sick coming by water in the barge, the water being very rough. But what silly sport they made with them, in very common terms, methought, was very poor, and below what people think these great people say and do. The launching being done, the King and company went down to take barge, and I sent for Mr. Pett and put the flagon into the Duke's hand. And he, in the presence of the King, did give it Mr. Pett, taking it upon his knee. This Mr. Pett is wholly beholding to me for, and he doth know, and I believe will acknowledge it. Thence I to Mr. Ackworth's, and there ate and drank, with Commissioner Pett and his wife, and thence to Sheldon's, where Sir William Batten and his lady were. By and by I took coach, after I had inquired for my wife or her boat, but found none. Going out of the gate, an ordinary woman prayed me to give her room to London, which I did, but spoke not to her all the way, but read as long as I could see my book again. Dark, when we came to London, and a stop of coaches in Southwark. I stayed above 30 minutes, and then light, and finding Sir William Batten's coach, heard they were gone into the Bear at the Bridgefoot, and thither I to them. Presently the stop is removed, and then going out to find my coach, I could not find it, for it was gone with the rest. So I feigned to go through the dark and dirt over the bridge, and my leg fell in a hole broke on the bridge. But the constable standing there to keep people from it, I was catched up, otherwise I had broke my leg, for which mercy the Lord be praised. So at Fenchurch I find my coach staying for me, and so a home, where the little girl hath looked to the house well, but no wife come home, which made me begin to fear her, the water being very rough, and cold and dark. But by and by she and her company come in all well, at which I was glad, though angry. Thence I to Sir William Batten's, and there sat late with him, Sir Richard Ford and Sir John Robinson, the last of whom continues still the same fool he was, crying up what power he has in the city, in knowing their temper and being able to do what he will with them. It seems the city did last night very freely lend the King £100,000, without any security but the King's word, which was very noble. but this loggerhead and Sir Richard Ford would make us believe they did it. Now Sir Richard Ford is a cunning man and makes a fool of the other, and the other believes whatever the other tells him. But, Lord, to think that such a man should be lieutenant of the Tower, and so great a man as he is a strange thing to me. With them late, and then home, and with my wife to bed after supper. The 27th of October. Up and to the office, where all the morning busy. At noon, Sir George Carteret, Sir John Minnis, Sir William Batten, Sir William Penn and myself were treated at the Dolphin by Mr. Foley, the ironmonger, where a good plain dinner, but I expected music, the missing of which spoilt my dinner. Only very good merry discourse at dinner. Thence with Sir George Carteret by coach to Whitehall to a committee of Tangier, and thence back to London, and light in Cheapside and I to Nelson's. And there met with a rub at first, but took him out to drink, and there discoursed, to my great content, so far with him that I think I shall agree with him for bupers to serve the navy with. So with great content home and to my office, where late. And having got a great cold in my head yesterday, home to supper and to bed. The 28th of October. Slept ill all night, having got a very great cold the other day at Woolwich in head, which makes me full of snot. Up in the morning, and my tailor brings me home my fine new coloured cloth suit, my cloak lined with plush, as good a suit as ever I wore in my life, and mighty neat, to my great content. To my office, and there all the morning, at noon to Nelson's, and there bought 20 pieces more of bupers, and hope to go on with him to a contract. Thence to the change a little, and thence home with Llewellyn to dinner, where Mr. Dean met me by appointment. And after dinner he and I up to my chamber, and there hard at discourse, and advising him what to do in his business at Harwich, and then to discourse of our old business of ships, and taking new rules of him to my great pleasure. And he being gone, I to my office a little, and then to see Sir William Batten, who is sick of a greater cold than I, and thither comes to me Mr. Holyard, and into the chamber to me, and poor man, beyond all I ever saw of him, was a little drunk, and there sat talking and finding acquaintance with Sir William Batten and my lady by relations on both sides, that there we stayed very long. At last broke up and he home, much overcome with drink, but well enough to get well home, so I home to supper and to bed. The 29th of October. Up, and it being my Lord Mayor's show, my boy and 3 maids went out, but it being a very foul rainy day from morning to night, I was sorry my wife let them go out. All the morning at the office, at dinner, at home. In the afternoon to the office again, and about 4 o'clock by appointment to the King's Head Tavern upon Fish Street Hill, whither Mr. Wolfe, and Parham by his means, met me to discourse about the fishery. A great light I had by Parham, who is a little conceited but a very knowing man in his way, and in the general fishing trade of England. Here I stayed 3 hours and ate a barrel of very fine oysters of Wolfe's giving me, and so it raining hard, home and to my office, and then home to bed. All the talk is that De Ruyter is come over land home with 6 or 8 of his captains, to command here at home, and their ships kept abroad in the straits, which sounds as if they had a mind to do something with us. The 30th of October, Lord's Day. Up, and this morning put on my new fine-coloured cloth suit, with my cloak lined with plush, which is a dear and noble suit, costing me about £17. To church, and then home to dinner, and after dinner to a little music with my boy, and so to church with my wife, and so home, and with her all the evening, reading and at music with my boy with great pleasure, and so to supper, prayers, and to bed. The 31st of October. Very busy all the morning, at noon, Creed to me, and dined with me, and then he and I to Whitehall, there to a committee of Tangier, where it is worth remembering, when Mr. Coventry proposed the retrenching some of the charge of the horse, the first word asked by the Duke of Albemarle was, "Let us see who commands them," there being three troops. One of them, he calls to mind, was by Sir Toby Bridges. "Oh," says he, "there is a very good man. If you must reform two of them, be sure let him command the troop that is left." Thence home, and there came presently to me Mr. Young and Whistler, who find that I have quite overcome them in their business of flags, and now they come to entreat my favour, but I will be even with them. So, late to my office, and there till past one in the morning, making up my month's accounts, and find that my expense this month in clothes hath kept me from laying up anything, but I am no worse, but a little better than I was, which is £1,205, a great sum, the Lord be praised for it. So, home to bed, with my mind full of content therein, and vexed for my being so angry in bad words to my wife to-night, she not giving me a good account of her layings out to my mind to-night. This day I hear young Mr. Stanley, a brave young gentleman that went out with young Jermyn with Prince Rupert, is already dead of the smallpox at Portsmouth. All preparations against the Dutch, and the Duke of York fitting himself with all speed to go to the fleet, which is hastening for him, being now resolved to go in the Charles. November 1664. The First. Up and to the office, where busy all the morning. At noon, my wife, being invited to my lady's sandwiches, all alone dined at home upon a good goose with Mr. Waith, discoursing of business. Then I to the committee of the fishery, and there we sat with several good discourses and some bad and simple ones, and with great disorder, and yet by the men of business of the town. But my report in the business of the collections is mightily commended, and will get me some reputation, and indeed is the only thing looks like a thing well done since we sat. Thence with Mr. Parham to the tavern, but I drank no wine, only he did give me another barrel of oysters, and he brought one Major Green, an able fishmonger, and good discourse to my information. So home, and late at business at my office, then to supper and to bed. The 2nd of November. Up betimes, and down with Mr. Castle to Redriff, and there walked to Deptford to view a parcel of brave knees of his, which indeed are very good. And so back again, home, I seeming very friendly to him, though I know him to be a rogue, and one that hates me with his heart. Home and to dinner, and so to my office all the afternoon, wherein some pain in my back, which troubled me, but I think it comes only with stooping and from no other matter. At night to Nelson's, and up and down about business, and so home to my office, then home to supper and to bed. The 3rd of November. Up and to the office, where strange to see how Sir William Penn is flocked to by people of all sorts against his going to sea. At the office did much business, among other, an end of that that hath troubled me long, the business of bupers and flags. At noon to the change, and thence by appointment was met with Bagwell's wife, and she followed me into Moorfields, and there into a drinking-house, and all alone ate and drank together. I did there caress her, but though I did make some offer, did not receive any compliance from her in what was bad, but very modestly she denied me, which I was glad to see, and shall value her the better for it, and I hope never tempt her to any evil more. Thence back to the town, and we parted, and I home, and there at the office late, where Sir William Penn came to take his leave of me, being tomorrow, which is very sudden to us, to go on board to lie on board. But I think we'll come ashore again before the ship, the Charles, can go away. So home to supper and to bed. This night Sir William Batten did, among other things, tell me strange news which troubles me, that my Lord Sandwich will be sent governor to Tangier, which in some respects indeed I should be glad of, for the good of the place and the safety of his person. But I think his honour will suffer, and it may be his interest fail by his distance. the 4th of November. Waked very betimes and lay long awake, my mind being so full of business. Then up and to St. James's, where I find Mr. Coventry full of business, packing up for his going to sea with the Duke. Walked with him, talking, to Whitehall, where to the Duke's lodgings, who is gone thither to lodge lately. I appeared to the Duke, and thence Mr. Coventry, and I an hour in the long gallery, talking about the management of our office. He tells me the weight of dispatch will lie most upon me, and told me freely his mind touching Sir William Batten and Sir John Minnis, the latter of whom, he most aptly said, was like a lapwing that all he did was to keep a flutter, to keep others from the nest that they would find. He told me an odd story of the former, about the lighthouses, how just before he had certified to the Duke against the use of them, and what a burden they are to trade. And presently after, at his being at Harwich, comes to desire that he might have the setting one up there, and gets the usefulness of it certified also by the Trinity House. After long discoursing and considering all our stores and other things, as how the King hath resolved upon Captain Taylor and Colonel Middleton, the first to be Commissioner for Harwich and the latter for Portsmouth, I away to the Change, and there did very much business. So home to dinner, and Mr. Duke, our Secretary for the Fishery, dined with me. After dinner to discourse of our business, much to my content. And then he away, and I by water among the smiths on the other side, and to the alehouse with one, and was near buying 4 or 5 anchors, and learned something worth my knowing of them. And so home, and to my office, where late, with my head very full of business, and so away home to supper and to bed. The 5th of November. Up and to the office, where all the morning, at noon to the Change, and thence home to dinner, and so with my wife to the Duke's house to a play, Macbeth, a pretty good play, but admirably acted. Thence home, the coach being forced to go round by London Wall home, because of the bonfires, the day being mightily observed in the city. To my office, late at business, and then home to supper and to bed. The 6th of November. Lord's Day. Up and with my wife to church, dined at home, and I, all the afternoon, close at my office, drawing up some proposals to present to the committee for the fishery tomorrow, having a great good intention to be serviceable in that business if I can. At night to supper with my Uncle White, where very merry, and so home to prayers and to bed. The 7th of November. Up and with Sir William Batten to Whitehall, where mighty thrusting about the Duke now upon his going. We were with him long. He advised us to follow our business close and to be directed in his absence by the committee of the Council for the Navy. By and by a meeting of the fishery, where the Duke was, but in such haste, and things looked so superficially over, that I had not a fit opportunity to propose my paper that I wrote yesterday. But I had showed it to Mr. Gray and Wren before, who did like it most highly, as they said, and I think they would not dissemble in that manner in a business of this nature. But I see the greatest businesses are done so superficially that I wonder anything succeeds at all among us that is public. Thence, somewhat vexed to see myself frustrated in the good I hope to have done, and a little reputation to have gained, and thence to my barber's. But Jane not being in the way, I to my Lady Sandwich, and there met my wife and dined. But I find that I dine as well myself, that is, as neatly, and my meat as good and well dressed as my good lady doth in the absence of my lord. Thence by water I to my barber's again, and did meet in the street my Jane, but could not talk with her but only a word or two. And so by coach called my wife and home, where at my office late, and then it being washing day, to supper and to bed. The 8th of November. Up and to the office, where by and by Mr. Coventry came, and after doing a little business took his leave of us, being to go to sea with the Duke tomorrow. At noon, I and Sir John Minnis and Lord Berkeley, who with Sir John Duncombe and Mr. Chichley are made masters of the ordnance, to the office of the ordnance to discourse about wadding for guns. Thence to dinner, all of us, to the lieutenant of the towers, where a good dinner, but disturbed in the middle of it by the king's coming into the tower, and so we broke up and to him and went up and down the storehouses and magazines, which are, with the addition of the new great storehouse, a noble sight. He gone, I to my office, where Bagwell's wife stayed for me, and together with her a good while, to meet again shortly. So all the afternoon at my office, till late, and then to bed, joyed in my love and ability to follow my business. This day Mr. Lever sent my wife a pair of silver candlesticks, very pretty ones. The first man that ever presented me to whom I have not only done little service, but apparently did him the greatest disservice in his business of accounts, as purser general, of any man at the board. The 9th of November. Called up, as I had appointed, by Henry Russell, between 2 and 3 o'clock, and I and my boy Tom by water with a galley down to the Hope, it being a fine starry night. Got thither by 8 o'clock, and there, as expected, found the Charles, her mainmast setting. Commissioner Pett aboard. I up and down to see the ship I was so well acquainted with, and a great work it is, the setting so great a mast. Thence the Commissioner and I on board, Sir George Askew in the Henry, who lacks men mightily, which makes me think there is more belief to be in a man that hath heretofore been employed than truly there is, for one would never have thought, a month ago, that he could have wanted 1,000 men at his heels. Nor do I think he hath much of a seaman in him, for he told me, says he, heretofore we used to find our ships clean and ready, everything to our hands in the Downs. Now I come and must look to see things done like a slave, things that I never minded nor cannot look after. And by all his discourse, I find that he hath not minded anything in her at all. Thence, not staying, the wind blowing hard, I made use of the Jemmy yacht, and returned to the tower in her, my boy being a very droll boy and good company. Home, and ate something, and then shifted myself into Whitehall. And there the king, being in his cabinet council, I desiring to speak with Sir George Carteret, I was called in, and demanded by the king himself many questions, to which I did give him full answers. There was at this council my Lord Chancellor, Archbishop of Canterbury, Lord Treasurer, the two secretaries, and Sir George Carteret. Not a little contented at this chance of being made known to these persons, and called often by my name by the king, I to Mr. Pierce's to take leave of him, but he not within, but saw her, and made very little stay but straight home to my office, where I did business, and then to supper and to bed. The Duke of York is this day gone away to Portsmouth. The 10th of November. Up and not finding my things ready, I was so angry with Bess as to bid my wife for good and all to bid her provide herself a place, for though she be very good-natured, she hath no care nor memory of her business at all. So to the office, where vexed at the malice of Sir William Batten, and folly of Sir John Minnis against Sir William Warren. But I prevented, and shall do, though to my own disquiet and trouble. At noon dined with Sir William Batten, and the auditors of the Exchequer at the Dolphin, by Mr. Waith's desire, and after dinner fell to business relating to Sir George Carteret's account. And so home to the office, where Sir William Batten begins too fast to show his knavish tricks in giving what price he pleases for commodities. So abroad, intending to have spoke with my Lord Chancellor about the old business of his wood at Clarendon, but could not, and so home again and late at my office, and then home to supper and bed. My little girl, Susan, is fallen sick of the measles, we fear, or at best of a scarlet fever. The 11th of November. Up and with Sir John Minnis and Sir William Batten to the council chamber at Whitehall, to the committee of the Lords for the Navy, where we were made to wait an hour or two before called in. In that time, looking upon some books of heraldry of Sir Edward Walker's making, which are very fine, there I observed the Duke of Monmouth's arms are neatly done, and his title, the most noble and high-born prince, James Scott, Duke of Monmouth, etc. Nor could Sir John Minnis or anybody there tell whence he should take the name of Scott. And then I found my Lord Sandwich's title, under his arms, is The Most Noble and Mighty Lord Edward, Earl of Sandwich, etc. Sir Edward Walker, afterward coming in discourse did say that there was none of the families of princes in Christendom that do derive themselves so high as Julius Caesar, nor so far, by 1,000 years, that can directly prove their rise. Only some in Germany do derive themselves from the patrician families of Rome, but that uncertainly. And among other things did much inveigh against the writing of romances, that 500 years hence, being wrote of matters in general true, as the romance of Cleopatra, the world will not know which is the true and which the false. Here was a gentleman attending here, that told us he saw the other day, and did bring the draft of it to Sir Francis Prudgeon, of a monster born of a hostler's wife at Salisbury. Two women children, perfectly made, joined at the lower part of their bellies, and every part perfect as two bodies, and only one pair of legs, coming forth on one side from the middle, where they were joined. It was alive 24 hours, and cried, and did as all hopeful children do, but being showed too much to people, was killed. By and by we were called in, where a great many lords, Ansley in the chair. But, Lord, to see what work they will make us, and what trouble we shall have to inform men in a business they are to begin to know, when the greatest of our hurry is a thing to be lamented, and I fear the consequence will be bad to us. Thence I by coach to the Change, and thence home to dinner, my head aching mightily with much business. Our little girl better than she was yesterday. After dinner, out again by coach to my Lord Chancellor's, but could not speak with him. Then up and down to seek Sir Philip Warwick, Sir George Carteret, and my Lord Berkeley, but failed in all, and so home and there late at business. Among other things, Mr. Turner, making his complaint to me how my clerks do all the work, and get all the profit, and he hath no comfort, nor cannot subsist, I did make him apprehend how he is beholding to me more than to anybody for my suffering him to act as purveyor of petty provisions, and told him so largely my little value of anybody's favour that I believe he will make no complaints again a good while. So home to supper and to bed. After prayers and having my boy and Mercer give me each of them some music. The 12th of November. Up, being frighted that Mr. Coventry was come to town, and now at the office. So I run down, without eating or drinking or washing, to the office, and it proved my Lord Berkeley. There all the morning. At noon to the Change, and so home to dinner, Mr. Waith with me, and then to the office, where mighty busy till very late. But I bless God I go through with it very well, and hope I shall. The 13th of November, Lord's Day. The morning to church, where mighty sport to hear our clerk sing out of tune, though his master sits by him that begins and keeps the tune aloud for the parish. Dined at home very well, and spent all the afternoon with my wife within doors, and getting a speech out of Hamlet, to be or not to be, without book. In the evening, to sing psalms, and in came Mr. Hill to see me, and then he and I and the boy finally to sing, and so anon broke up after much pleasure. He gone, I to supper, and so to prayers and to bed. The 14th of November. Up and with Sir William Batten to Whitehall to the Lords of the Admiralty, and there did our business betimes. Thence to Sir Philip Warwick about navy business, and my Lord Ashley, and afterward to my Lord Chancellor, who is very well pleased with me and my carrying of his business, and so to the Change, where mighty busy, and so home to dinner, where Mr. Creed and more, and after dinner I to my Lord Treasurer's, to Sir Philip Warwick there, and then to Whitehall to the Duke of Albemarle about Tangier, and then homeward to the coffee house to hear news, and it seems the Dutch, as I afterward find by Mr. Coventry's letters, have stopped a ship of masts of Sir William Warren's, coming for us in a Swede's ship, which they will not release upon Sir George Downing's claiming her, which appears as the first act of hostility, and is looked upon as so by Mr. Coventry. The Elias, coming from New England, Captain Hill, commander, is sunk, only the captain and a few men saved. She foundered in the sea. So home, we're infinite busy till 12 at night, and so home to supper and to bed. The 15th of November. That I might not be too fine for the business I intend this day, I did leave off my fine new cloth suit lined with plush, and put on my poor black suit. And after office done, where much business but little done, I to the change, and thence Bagwell's wife with much ado followed me through Moorfield to a blind alehouse. And there I did caress her, and ate and drank, and many hard looks and sighs the poor wretch did give me, and I think verily was troubled at what I did. But at last, after many protestings, by degrees I did arrive at what I would with great pleasure. Then, in the evening, it raining, walked to the town, to where she knew where she was, and then I took coach and to Whitehall to a committee of Tangier, where, and everywhere else, I thank God, I find myself growing in repute. And so home, and late, very late, at business, nobody minding it but myself, and so home to bed, weary and full of thoughts. Businesses grow high between the Dutch and us on every side. The 16th of November. My wife, not being well, waked in the night, and strange to see how dead sleep our people sleeps, that she was fain to ring an hour before anybody would wake. At last one rose and helped my wife, and so to sleep again. Up and to my business, and then to Whitehall, there to attend the Lord's Commissioners, and so directly home, and dined with Sir William Batten, and my lady, and after dinner had much discourse tending to profit with Sir William Batten, how to get ourselves into the prize office, or some other fair way of obliging the king to consider us in our extraordinary pains. Then to the office, and there all the afternoon very busy, and so till past 12 at night, and so home to bed. This day my wife went to the burial of a little boy of William Joyce's. The 17th of November. Up and to my office, and there all the morning mighty busy, and taking upon me to tell the controller how ill his matters were done. And I think, indeed, if I continue thus, all the business of the office will come upon me, whether I will or no. At noon to the change, and then home with Creed to dinner, and thence I to the office, where close at it all the afternoon till 12 at night, and then home to supper and to bed. This day I received from Mr. Foley, but for me to pay for if I like it, an iron chest, having now received back some money I've laid out for the king, and I hope to have a good sum of money by me thereby in a few days, I think above £800. But when I came home at night, I could not find the way to open it, but which is a strange thing, my little girl Susan could carry it alone from one table clear from the ground and set upon another, when neither I nor anyone in the house but Jane the cookmaid could do it.